Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Where are we?
We are in Primrose Hill, which is the sort of garden of North London. We've got the hill and the park up there. We have a dog, so it's a great place to live. And it's about 15 minutes into work.
And who are you?
I am Jon Snow. I'm not of Game of Thrones, but I do know nothing. I'm probably a bit of a bastard. You know about Game of Thrones?
I do.
You know, that Jon Snow is a bastard. He's the bastard son of the king. And he does know nothing. I pretend to know something.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right, let's head off.
Okay.
I'm in your hands.
Right. Well, I'm on my trusty Condor.
Yes.
And Condor, as you will know, has its works and its shop in Gray's Inn Road, which is where we're headed. It's literally a few doors up from ITN. A lot of people think I go to Channel 4, which would be a bit of a ride. It's down in Victoria. But in actual fact, news is such an incredibly expensive entity.
Yeah.
That it all has to be made by an independent
company. How long have you been at ITN for now?
Well, I've been on Channel 4 News 30 years come this summer, and I've been at ITN 43 years. My 43rd anniversary was a week ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, my dear chap, to make one more year is always an achievement.
I worked there on and off over 20 years. I started there in 1999, which was my first job in London.
Yeah.
At ITN Radio in the basement, which is no longer there.
Yeah.
And then worked for a bit for ITV and latterly Channel 5.
Yeah.
And now I've left the world of journalism. And I guess the first question is it a good time to be in journalism or not?
It is the best of times. The best of times. I mean, it's the worst of times in terms of Brexit, which is the most tedious and hopeless business. I mean, in the sense that it's been, an advisory referendum has been turned into an absolute decision by Britain with, 4% between the two sides. And the interesting thing is that the parliament that we have to report is as divided as the whole country. And so for once, MPs are deeply representative of the country we live in.
And you and I have been trying to do this for a little while, and it's been incredibly busy. I think the first time I asked you, the American midterms are about to happen.
Yeah.
And then at the drop of a hat, Brexit takes another turn.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. The midterms, which interrupted our efforts last time, were really, really interesting because, for once, you went to the bits of America you never visit to speak to the people you never speak to.
Yes.
And they are the people who vote for Trump. And, a lot of people were shocked that he got in and all the rest of it. But I think Trump is a product. It's the same product that I think Brexit is, in the sense that I think a lot of people who felt victims of austerity, felt generally left out, forgotten, ignored, thought, well, sorry, I'm going to be asked to pass judgment on something. I shall certainly say no, whatever they ask me.
Jon, over the course of your really lengthy career,
yes,
have you seen times like this before where there's been, I suppose, a relatively short bit of disruption and then a long period of calm? I suppose I suppose in the UK, I'm thinking of building up to 1997 and Tony Blair coming to power, for example, or Margaret Thatcher coming to power as well and being in for a long time and it being relatively stable.
Yeah. Well, the banking crisis wrecked all that. And from the banking crisis, we became much more discernibly a deeply divided country because the money from the public sector was used to pay the debts of the banks. Here we are, logjam now. This is big-time private school delivery time.
I can tell, because we're stuck behind a Tesla X.
And the guy doesn't know how to drive anyway. Come on, old guy. Oh, he's... Here we go.
So much easier to cycle until cars get in the way.
Yeah. I try never to drive in London if I can avoid it. In fact, I try never to go on any other means of transport than a bike. I had to go south of the river to an event the other day, and I got on the wrong tube the other side. I had to change at Waterloo, and I thought I was getting onto one, and I, in fact, got onto the other.
It's all different down there.
It is. Well, very rare that I ever take it. Because there is, in central London, there is no quicker way to move than on a bike.
Have you always ridden?
Always. I don't think I'd take it up now. I mean, it is dangerous. There's no question.
And what about the bike you're on? It's a bright orange Condor Fratello. It's a steel bike, isn't it?
It is. I thought, actually, in terms of the colour, it needed to show up. I see you have a white bike with gold bits and pieces. I mean... That is one pricey number. Mine was pricey. I mean, this is a couple of thousand quid.
Yeah. No slouch. And like you say, Condor's just up the road from ITN.
Yeah.
Where you've been for ages. I mean, Condor's so even more established than ITN, I guess. I mean, it's one of the greatest bike shops in London, therefore the world.
I went in the other day because my straps had broken on my pedals. And I said, could you possibly fix them? I didn't want to sweat around doing it. Not only did I get back to find they'd done it, but they had also pumped up the tyres, just given it a spruce up, and they wouldn't take a penny for it.
Well, I think you're one of their most famous customers, aren't you?
Well, I think it's about loyalty in the end. I mean, I've been with them for, well, all the time that ITN's been in Gray's Inn Road, which is something like 25 years.
But just coming back to the news,
yeah.
When you reflect on it, and
yeah.
what are the biggest stories? What are the most challenging stories, perhaps, that you've done?
I think, spending time in Gaza, challenging, very. Very difficult to be dispassionate when you see such suffering on such a scale, and you feel it's so fixable. It'd be perfectly possible if the Americans would come on side to provide a safe state for Israel and a safe state for the Palestinians. Jews and Palestinians have been there for as long as anybody knows, and they've been capable of living together in the past. I don't see why they couldn't now.
And I know famously you interviewed Idi Amin.
I did,
and
my God.
Flew on a plane with him, which must have been peculiar.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, I'll get to Idi Amin in a minute, but you know, the funny thing is that I had no ambition to be a journalist. I got thrown out of university for being involved in an anti-apartheid demo. And, it was worse than that. We occupied it's Liverpool University, and we occupied the building that paid all the staff. So that didn't go down well. I had to find a job, and I somehow, through the grapevine, found this job as director of a day centre for homeless and vulnerable teenagers.
Wow.
Yeah, in Soho. God knows how I got there, I don't know, but I did. It was run by John Profumo,
right,
of the notorious...
Of the scandal.
...scandal,
yeah.
And Lord Longford, who was known in those days as Lord Porn, because
right.
He was on some sort of anti-porn thing. Although, I have to say, he was one of these people who... Some woman had walked up to him in a fur coat in Soho, and otherwise naked. He wouldn't have he would never have noticed. So the idea that he was in any way aware of really what porn was all about, I don't know. But anyway...
But if that name doesn't jog people's memories, he campaigned, didn't he, for Myra Hindley?
He did.
Having served her sentence to be released.
Yeah. And he was a prison reformer, and to this day I'm on a trust, which is called the Longford Trust, which enables prisoners to take degrees. Can you imagine? It's been impossible for any prisoner to sit...
Sorry. My bad.
Actually, I should explore that one. It might take me across to my other road quicker than the one I'm going on.
Okay. Anyway. We're going at a good chatty pace. Anyway.
I'm going slower in order to collect my thoughts. Anyway, I was going to stay there 6 months and go back to university. And then I ended up staying there 3 years. Then they invented commercial radio. And the first one was LBC. And LBC was going to have a revolutionary new all-night phone-in. Can you imagine anything worse? But there it was. And they were worried that at come sort of 4 o'clock in the morning, there would be people ringing in who were too bonkers to go on air. So the ad said they wanted a counsellor in here. Sorry, I keep forgetting that you don't know where we're going.
It's all right.
We've just had to do a rather serious turn. Get Matt to turn rather a sharp 90 degrees. Catch me. They were looking for somebody who could counsel people who rang in and were too bonkers to put on air and offer them advice as to where they could go and all the rest of it. So I applied and I got the job. When we went on air, they discovered the only people who did ring in at 4 o'clock in the morning were too bonkers to put on air, and if you didn't put them on air, there was nobody to put on air. So very, very soon they said, well, look, obviously there's nothing for you to do, but you do have a plummy English voice, and everybody else here is either Australian or Canadian. Because they were the people who pioneered commercial radio.
Yeah.
You'd better read the news. So I read the news. They went bankrupt, not because I read the news, but anyway, they did. They came back to life again, or somebody else took over. And the new editor said, look, I'm sorry, but you're not going to go prattling around reading the news. You're going to go and be a reporter.
Wow, and that was it?
So I went out, that was it, on the bike. And it was the time of IRA bombings, and the bike was utterly essential to covering them, because every time a bomb went off, take you know, the Old Bailey or any number of them that went off, the first thing that would happen would be a complete log jam.
Yes.
Traffic jam everywhere.
Yeah.
And you would race to the bomb, and you'd pass the man from the Daily Express fretting away in the back of a black cab.
Yes.
And
straight on.
And the police were far too busy with the bomb to notice you scooting underneath the tapes and getting to the scene. And then in those days, there were no mobile phones, so we had walkie-talkies, huge brick-sized things which I had to strap on the bike. And you could transmit, providing you were somewhere within sight of the LWT building on the banks of the Thames. And many was the time.
It's interesting, isn't it, how we've come to rely on what we think is technology, but then when something happens...
We're going over and right.
When something happens, like a terror attack, and everything gets shut down,
yeah.
It is the simple things that work
that
are so valuable. Like you say, like a bike or a walkie-talkie or just a pen and paper.
Yeah. Now, I think we'd better go in single file here because people want to overtake us.
OK, I will go behind you. I'll follow you.
OK.
Because you know where you're going,
yeah.
And I don't.
I do. Well, I think I do.
Did you get a taste for it immediately, John, covering big events like that?
I couldn't believe it. It was such fun. I mean, not the bombs, but kind of racing to get to this thing, talking about it, telling people what you could see, and coming back and starting all over again. I think the privilege of being able to be present at events, not necessarily nasty terrorist events, but they do crop up, but events, great events, everything, for the Olympics, you know, for a change of government, for the election of American president. I mean, the things that you do, and, you know, a refugee crisis, whatever, you know. And it's a fantastic life, largely facilitated in London by a bicycle. If you didn't have the bike, you couldn't do it. Now, here I must confess that if the pedestrian's light is off, stop, I do normally miss this one.
You nip through.
Nip through, because it's straight round onto the cycleway there. And actually, there should be a cycle filter, because there's a pedestrian filter for people to go across,
yeah.
And we could go straight through. There's no reason we can't go through on that, because it's separated from the highway. Provision for cyclists is still a bit irrational.
It is, but it's getting better.
It is getting better.
Do you applaud the improvements in London
and
in Britain?
I do, except, of course, what it's done is to encourage an awful lot of cyclists, which is wonderful on the one hand, but actually pretty dangerous too.
Yes.
To
yeah.
find yourself in a sort of great convoy of, you know, 20 cyclists is not entirely rewarding, because there's always someone trying to scoot away and whatever.
Apart from having the bike when you were a cub reporter to get to those stories quickly, and now to get into the studio, what pleasure do you derive from riding a bike?
Well, interestingly enough, I'm a completely jobbing... I'm a jobbing cyclist. I have done some long runs, but very few. I did an amazing run from Lecce in the bottom of Italy all the way up to Brindisi on the east... on the east coast, and then across to Naples, up to Rome, up to Florence, up to Assisi,
stunning.
Across to Ravenna and into Venice, 1,000 miles in 10 days. It was a sponsored, you know, British Heart Foundation
yes.
type thing. And I absolutely loved it, but was totally, you know, ransacked by it. I mean, I was pretty fit by the end, but... God, it came as a big shock.
And did you do it on that, on the Condor?
No, I've got a road bike.
Yeah.
But I haven't used it for a year or two. I've also done London to Paris for the Duchenne's Trust.
Oh, for Krishnan?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Got to show the old boy a bit of loyalty.
You've got to. It's special, though, that ride, isn't it?
It's really special.
It
is. It's tremendous. You know, a lot of soulless hacks getting on their bikes and doing something for someone else.
So, after all these years in the news game,
yeah,
you seem more, I was going to say infused, is the wrong word, energised by it, I suppose, than ever.
But I'm energised partly by cycling. I mean, to do this all day, I mean, yeah. you know, if I've got to go down to... you're going down to the cycle lane. I never go in this cycle lane, actually. It's completely irrational.
Okay.
I go on that side because I've got to turn right. So to turn right from the cycle lane is... Look, you see there's a truck there wanting to go left.
You've got to cross the
we
traffic.
Want to go right, and the cycle lane's in the way.
They haven't
Will he stop
out.
For me? Oh, don't. Oh, they both do. So we both need to go across. Go right across onto the right.
Okay.
But that's chaotic, isn't it?
It is.
It's ridiculous. They should have put the cycle lane this side, because nobody wants to go up there. That's going home again.
Not thought through
Here
by
we go.
A cyclist.
Not thought through by
no.
a cyclist, absolutely. Now, there's a killer cyclist coming down the hill opposite us, going like the wind.
So we're just heading through all the new developments at King's Cross. It's amazing how much this has changed.
It's incredible. Google. Everything.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No, I mean, I do feel enthused. I mean, these are terrible times. They are, it's not unique to Britain. The democracy is in crisis to some extent. There's not been nearly enough attention paid to those who've been left behind by events and by progress in the digital age and the rest of it. We've got a heck of a lot to do. We have to deal with inequality. I think Grenfell was an incredible wake-up call.
That was the last big story I covered, actually, as a broadcast journalist.
Yeah, I was there too.
Miserable. And actually, I was in Haiti as well for the earthquake with you too.
Yeah.
And just, I think the thing that got me in the end and made me realise I probably had my fill of those kind of stories was children being hurt and seeing children injured and, you know, in desperate poverty. It just
you see
really
your own children in them.
That's exactly it.
You
becoming
do.
A dad made everything change.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to creep along here. At the same time, you know, the opportunity to wake the world up and inform people is a wonderful thing to be involved in.
Too good to pass up.
It is.
And you have two daughters.
I have two daughters.
Like me. Although
yeah.
I suspect mine are a bit younger than yours.
I think they are, yeah. Yeah. Mine are in their 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did they want to go into journalism
themselves? No, not at all, no. Not remotely. This is a crazy mess here at King's Cross. They've shut a key... It's interesting. You see, as a cyclist, I see it as a good thing. But for traffic, it's a disaster, particularly for the buses. They've cut a major artery south, which stops. Now, you see that? That was a woman with her headphones on, hadn't got a clue, walked straight out in front of us.
Yeah.
Now, you see, this is where all the cycle strategy has broken down. This is where the cycle strategy is broken down. We're going to go straight across.
Straight across and then we'll swing a left.
Yeah. They've got the box for the bikes to come to the front of the queue.
Yes.
But you can't get to the front of the queue in
no.
a safe manner. There's no... I think they had a pretense of a cycleway, but it just didn't work.
In this country, broadcast news is highly regulated and impartiality is a basic thing that we all have to observe.
And that's why our system is... probably better than any other in the world.
Does it frustrate you at all, though? Because we all have our personal views, don't we? We all have our thoughts on, well, things like Brexit and Trump and everything else.
But there's nothing you can do about your views except to, keep them at bay and try and be objective.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's bound to affect the way you approach something. I need to be regulated. I do. I need to be regulated, and I'm glad I am. And I think British regulation is pretty good, actually.
You don't think we should go the same way as the US, where it's opinionated?
We're going to go right here. No, because, American television news is simply dreadful. I mean, I don't know. It's all ambulance chasing, and it's all incredibly local. They know nothing about what's going on abroad. America is the world to so many, particularly in those places that I went to during the midterm elections. You'd find people knew nothing about anything. I mean,
yes.
I mean, fortunately for them, they'd never heard of Brexit, but nevertheless.
It's still fascinating, though, isn't it? Britain seems to have an obsession with America and its politics, and it's showbiz over there, whereas here, you can't really accuse Theresa May of being showbiz, can you?
You certainly can't.
Although by the time this goes out, she might have not even be Prime Minister anymore.
Indeed.
But we could have said that at any point in the past two or three years.
And we may either have fallen out of the European Union or decided to give the whole idea up.
What's your hunch?
Whoa! There's a close run.
Yes. So,
well, let's try and go with him.
What's your hunch, John? What do you think will happen?
Now, honestly, you never know from one minute to the next.
No.
I mean, I've been working on this for months, and every week you would say, how will this week end? And you have no idea. Absolutely. I've never known a time like it. Never. And, of course, it's also had the effect of boring people rigid. Must be one of the most popular words, even if one's in favour of it in the country.
Yeah, quite. I think everyone's a bit sick of it, aren't they? Do you think, though, that it has asked fundamental questions of our own politics, of our own system?
Yes,
not
I think,
being up to
first
scrap.
Of all, a parliamentary system that depends on first past the post, you know, lands us up with these problems. It'd be much better to have a proportional representation. I have no idea. I mean, have you ever spent any time in Parliament?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it is a museum and a tumbling down museum.
Yes, it is.
And it has the effect because it's... have you ever done the Scottish Parliament?
Yes.
Scottish Parliament, yeah. You walk out on the floor during a debate. You can watch the whole thing from inside. Absolutely right there and then.
Well, it cost them a fortune.
Ordinary members of the public. What?
It cost them a fortune, though, didn't it, to build?
To build it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nobody minds spending money on democracy. I wouldn't mind a fortune being paid on getting a decent parliament. These people live lives which are... I mean, when they get back to their constituencies, they meet the real world. But when they're in there, they're this sort of cabal of people who are sort of... suddenly dwarfed by the enormity of history.
Yes. You can feel it, can't you?
You can, right. Hats off, strangers! All this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Processions of the speaker coming in and out.
Too much tradition.
Oh, dear. Yeah. No. Too much pantomime.
When you come up against politicians, do you feel, as Jeremy Paxman used to do, that they're all fair game? They're all probably lying
to you? No, I don't.
You?
No. I think that, you know, there are a lot of very decent people going to politics with very high-minded... And discover that it's very, very difficult to get anything done. You know, the system is stacked against them.
We're nearly here. We're just putting
now,
up twice.
I do something. I'm afraid I'm going to do something illegal now. No, well, not illegal. I'm going to push the bike over the pedestrian crossing and go to the Hopper coffee shop to get a coffee and a porridge. I can't live without porridge. So will you come with me?
I will come with you.
Okay, well, let's pull in here. No, I'll do that.
No, this isn't illegal, this is fine.
It's all right, we walked, we didn't do anything naughty. I can tell you candidly, this is the cleanest journey I've had to work. Not a single road traffic offence.
I wonder if it's warm enough to sit outside.
Yeah, we'll try.
All right, fantastic.
If you look after the bikes, I'll get, what would you like? Do you like some porridge?
I've had breakfast.
I tell you, it's delicious. Oh, you've had breakfast.
I'd love a coffee, though.
Okay.
Are you
what
sure,
sort
John?
Of coffee?
Flat white for me, thanks.
Flat white, yep.
Would you like porridge?
Yes, please, darling, with nuts and raisins and honey. I would like one flat white, small, and a small latte.
Enjoy.
Thank you, my love. Yeah, have a great day.
Oh.
I think yours is the one this end.
You're a gentleman. This one?
Maybe you should. No, this one, I think.
I got them. I'll grab them. Brilliant. Do you find the cycling keeps you fit and fresh? And keeps you feeling younger.
Well, I don't know what younger means, really. I don't know what older means. I mean, I just stay reasonably trim and fit.
Yeah.
But the training helps as well. I train twice a week.
When you say training, what does that involve? A personal trainer coming around and putting you through your paces?
Boxing, planks. I did a four-minute plank once. And I normally do two, 2 minutes. And, you know, star jumps and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
No.
Is that a recent thing, or have you always kept fit like that?
I've done it for about a decade. Once I got to 60, I thought, you're going to have to conserve now.
Yeah, up your game. Conserve, not build.
Yeah.
Let's just talk a bit more about the sort of state of news, because...
I told you, I think it's the best time of ever.
Well, maybe in the States, we've seen news outlets have the Trump bump. You know, they've seen a big lift in their audiences. The likes of CNN had bumper years when he came to power, even though they had a public spat with him.
Well,
repeatedly.
I'm afraid we're doing the best ever for Brexit.
Really?
Brexit figures are the best we've ever had. Online, we're the most watched. We're a tiny organisation, and we're the most watched television news in Britain.
Yeah.
Not on the television, but online.
What do you think about that? So Channel 4 News' brand is now global, but it's an audience that can't necessarily watch it on TV.
I don't mind how it's delivered. I just like communicating. And as I'm on, you know, various social networks, I see the pickup. It's absolutely sensational. I mean, even I, humble old me, has 1.34 million followers.
I hope a few of them listen to this at some point.
Who knows?
I'll share it with you when it comes out. What do you think, then, of the impact of social media and broadcast having a bit of an upturn on the print press and on the, especially in this country, where it's driven so much of the agenda over the decades?
Well, the print press is dead as a newspaper. I mean, clearly they still manage to sell some, but they're all online now. I mean, for example, the FT has a brilliant online service, and then it has a feast of a paper on a weekend, which I devour.
Yes.
And it's the only time I read a paper. I don't read any other paper.
Everything else is online?
Everything else is online.
So what are your go-to sources? I guess you're just going to say all of them, but what would you choose to go to first?
Guardian and FT. Well, FT first, Guardian second.
BBC?
Not if I want to be interested.
Qualify that.
Well, I mean, they are very, very straight. And the thing about, you take the FT, on Brexit, I don't think I've ever read an article in the FT which was pro-leave. You know, that's an odd thing, it's true.
Do you then notice bias in these places, even in the BBC? I mean, the BBC, in its handling of Brexit, is being accused of being pro-Brexit. I'm not sure it necessarily is. I think it's more of an overreaction.
I think the trouble is, with Brexit, the regulator treated the referendum like a general election and therefore insisted on equal time for both sides. So that all sorts of views that would never get the light of day got peddled. All sorts of lies were told. We're in the mess we are.
And that view was vocalised by Justin Webb of the Today programme. Unfortunately, after the fact, it was a bit late then, wasn't it? Saying, well, probably, we should have taken Farage to task more, for example, not giving him equal weight to the Prime Minister at the time.
But, I pity you. I'm really sorry for the BBC because, and yet I treasure it. I mean, I listen to BBC Radio every minute of every day. I mean, when I'm at home, I have it on whenever there's a good news programme on. And they will be good, very good. But it must be a struggle for those who work there. And I've never worked there, so I don't know what it would really be like. But we were actually, Channel 4 was set up to be different. They don't want a pale version of the BBC. We wouldn't be able to build it anyway.
Having been through all this stuff, and more recently the world feeling like it's more tumultuous than ever before, though perhaps it isn't. I think, on the whole, when you look at other research into...
We know more about the tumult.
We do. We know more about it.
Online, all that has kept us.
But overall, when you look at mankind, our quality of life across the world as an average is improving. And there are fewer wars, and we haven't had a world war for decades and that sort of thing.
I wouldn't count your chickens.
No, okay. Well, that begs the next question. How much of an optimist are you, John, now, to finish off?
I am an optimist. I'm absolutely an optimist. And I believe humanity has the capacity to be caring and responsible, and at the same time, if they want to, they can get rich. That's up to them. But no, it isn't. It's up to the system. But I believe the world is full of good people who have good intent, and that, you know, the difficulties that we see are curable. I mean, climate change is the biggest issue of all, and has been drowned by Trump, drowned by Brexit. And that has been at a time when we're an absolute tipping point. This is the time we should really have been... I mean, plastic. It's the facts that are known about plastic now. I mean, we have to do everything possible. I mean, I'm afraid to say our coffee lids are plastic. They don't need to be. The porridge isn't. My porridge here has got a cardboard top, and yeah. You could do that for... Anyway, we should be using our reusable cups. As I cycle in, I don't carry my cup with me.
At least you're cycling and doing your bit that way. John, thanks so much for talking to me.
Matt, it's been a treat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.